This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI, and 1140 AM KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or a question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town, and Mountain High Health Foods. For health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living, stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling U.S. callers, please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guests on Speak Your Peace, we have State Senator Hank Coe, along with State Representatives David Northrup and Dan Larson. Gentlemen, how's it going today?
Good.
Good morning.
Good.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in today. And I noticed that the senator's with us today. Last time he wasn't here, and we talked about him the full hour. So now you can, if you like to take the floor and
rebuttal.
Rebuttal.
Oh, right. I could talk for a long time about what the House does and what we have to fix.
And it could be the other way around.
That's pretty specific. It depends on who you talk to, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you guys have been pretty busy. It sounds like I know, David, you've been farming.
Correct.
Dan, you've had a couple meetings, and I know, Senator, you've had some education meetings. You want to give us just an update on what you guys have been talking about in education these days?
Well, yeah, you know, I had 3 days of meetings in Lander last week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, two on joint education, one on school facilities. And, you know, we covered a number of topics, really, when it comes to education. This was our real formative meeting, and, you know, we started by looking at education accountability and looked at virtual education, had reports on virtual education, particularly with what's going on in Bighorn County 4, as you guys probably remember. We got into school finance, and we looked at national teaching certification, national board certification. We reviewed sources of school district funding, looked at local revenues, what districts keep in reserves. We looked at efficiencies, which is something that, you know, Dave and I know quite a bit about because we looked at special education, transportation. But probably one of the biggest things we looked at was school safety.
And really? Okay.
We had quite a report from the school facilities construction department with Del McComey and Shelby Carlson. And what we're looking at with SRO, school resource officers, and what we're trying to do. And then ended up with alternative school report on alternative school accountability. So busy couple days in joint education, and David was tied up and couldn't make it, but I'm filling him in as fast as I can.
I was going to say, the Senate holding the water for the House, is that what this is?
Yeah, we're carrying the water for the House again.
I don't know about that. Jerry does a good job.
Jerry Paxton was the acting chairman, who's a wonderful legislator out of Carbon County, out of the Saratoga area.
Right.
David's vice chair, but we had a very constructive, good meeting, but it was long.
What was the detail on the school resource officer? What are officers? Is there talk about how much something like that would cost, or what's the discussion on that?
Well, it was the overall discussion. We had an AG's opinion whether or not we could, for instance, compel districts to spend money on security.
Oh, okay.
And pretty much the Attorney General's opinion was, no, we can't make them do that. You look at a district like Natrona 1 and Casper, 13,000 kids, have two SROs, two school resource officers. Cody has one, Powell has one. That was discussed quite a bit. Not so much firearms in schools, although that was alluded to. But, you know, everybody has on their mind after Parkland, Florida, safety of our kids. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about that.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please say your first and last name.
Good morning, guys. This is Steve Torrey.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Question for Hank. I tried to catch you since legislative session, and I've been busy, so work gets in the way sometimes. But did you introduce, I heard that you had drafted and tried to introduce a bill that would change the law to in Wyoming to exempt Yellowstone employees from registration, vehicle registration. Did that happen? Did you do
no,
that?
No, I never did attempt to do that, you know, in a budget session. Steve, I tracked the whole discussion, was in, you know, watched it all, but I did not bring legislation to do that. I still am very interested in it, but, you know, this general session coming up, it might be a little easier if we decide to try to do something. That really is going to be a federal issue as well.
Well, it is, but it isn't, because it's a federal issue with enforcement in the park, as you know. But the federal law is mandated to follow the state law. So when somebody changes the state law, those people are off the hook right up there. So I know there's some backlash in the business community in Cody. Some of the business owners and the community leaders in the business travel industry in Cody are worried about a backlash like that. And I was just wondering if it ever got introduced and who did that. So I had heard somebody did, so, and your name came up. So as long as you didn't do that, that's a good thing, Hank. So we're trying to get that revenue for you, you know, for the school funding and all of that stuff, you know, so those people up there. And just an update on that whole thing up there, it's running rampant. The non-compliance is running rampant. Just so that you know, maybe the commissioners are listening. I still have to sort of send them an informative letter with to Barb and others, the YDOT Director Panos, on the matter, that there is no compliance up there. It's the same as usual. And as you well know, maybe you know that YDOT was supposed to set up satellite offices up there. And if they did, then nobody's in compliance with it. So maybe that's the reason why our friend Dan Wink is leaving, because he just doesn't seem like he wants to follow federal law. So, okay, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Well, you know, the vehicle registration is a difficult thing up there because, I don't know, what is it, 30 days, 45 days? You know, yeah. Temporary employees that come that, you know, drag their car out there, have to re-register in Wyoming.
That's right.
And, you know, that's going to be a difficult thing to have compliance on.
Do you think something's going to move forward in the legislature this upcoming session regarding that in some facet?
I think it's conceivable something could happen there, but I'm not positive. I still think there's some federal intervention in some of that stuff. Clearly there is with property tax.
Oh, sure.
Because Yellowstone was there before anybody else was. So.
Right.
I want to go back to schools real fast and go back to a law that was signed in, and Cody is utilizing it with allowing teachers to carry. They're in the process of trying to get that thing in place for the upcoming school year. What are you hearing from the other parts of the state, or maybe your colleagues? Are other districts looking at this, or do they like this whole idea of giving the school boards an option to let teachers carry?
Yeah, and we had quite a report from Ray Schulte. He was on our agenda, and he talked at length about the process they'd gone through in Cody. And there's a number of districts now that are kind of looking at what's going on in Cody. Evanston is the most recent. You know, they've been very, very inclusive here. You know, the school board spent hours and hours on coming up with a policy and, you know, training requirements and all that stuff. So Cody's definitely being looked at. They're looking at it right down the road in Powell.
That's right.
So, you know, that was a great report that Ray Schulte gave. He did a great job on the length of what they went through and the intricacies and the different little components of it that are particularly the training side.
Now, the meetings you went to, Senator, are they – this school resource officer, though, obviously this would be something on top of what already is in place with law. Do they feel it's necessary that some the group you're with, do they feel that the school resource officer thing is needed in addition to the law that was passed?
Well, school safety and security was what our number two topic priority. Next to school finance, yeah. as designated by a management council. So this is a big item for us. And school resource officers was just part of the discussion. They also looked at the different needs that they have. You know, we appropriated $9 million here a couple of years ago to deal with school security. Locks and, you know, vestibules and different things that they can do. A lot of our schools, the main office sits inside the building.
Sure.
And, you know, Cody High School is a good example of that. So if you lock the place up, you know, somebody's got to get in to even find out who they are. So there's some real security issues that appeared up there.
I know Cody this summer, Ray Schulte has said that they're making some changes at some of the schools to make for safety precautions with offices and so forth to try to make them better. And I think is that some of the stuff you're alluding to?
Exactly.
Now, anything else about education that you think is going to be at the forefront coming in this upcoming session in January and February?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, we looked at efficiencies in special ed. We looked at efficiencies in transportation. We had quite a bit of discussion about that. That'll probably come out. But mostly recommendations, you know, how to buy buses and how to do different things to economize. But school finance will be our big thing again. You know, that's our number one topic. And you know, we've still got a major problem. The 800-pound gorilla in the room when we go back to the session is still going to be school finance, K-12.
Do you want to add anything to David regarding education?
Well, finance is going to be the big discussion we will have. It's talking about where we're going to make the cuts in education or where we're going to find the money to keep it going. And it's one or the other or both. And I think that one of the things that needs to happen between the House and Senate is we need to sit down and have a very frank discussion about that so that we're all on the same page without having to go to introduce a bill and then start slapping down each other's bills all the time. So.
How serious do you think in the near future will it become for the discussions you guys have is consolidating administration of school districts? Now, I'm not talking about closing schools, but consolidating maybe administration. We've talked about that before. You think that's going to become a more serious discussion as we go on?
Not even on my radar, to be honest.
Okay.
It's a relatively small item.
That's right. There's very little money to be saved.
Not much money involved in that. Okay.
And, you know, not saying that we won't look at it. We have looked at it in the past. I'm sure we'll probably look at it again. But this is not something that's really on the radar. I mean, you could conceivably have the administration in Cody be in charge of what's going on in Meteetse without a superintendent over there. You lose some of the, in the small districts. For instance, you have a superintendent and you can ask, what's the guy that used to be superintendent over?
Jay Curtis.
Yeah, Jay Curtis. Not only was he superintendent when he was in Meteetse, he did 15 other things.
That's right.
You know,
plus the identity of having your own superintendent.
Did everything but drive the bus. You know, and so there's some economies out there, some economies of scale that are, it's just not on my radar right now.
Is there anything major along those lines that is on the radar? You're saying the superintendent's consolidating that administration, maybe not a big deal. Anything big that's on the radar regarding education that may come that you're maybe looking at down the road because something has to be done?
Not at this point in time.
Okay, well, I think
we'll have a look at local resources, school district reserves, some of that stuff. You got a district like Laramie 1, they've got a $30 million
reserve
account.
It's huge.
Wow.
It's huge.
Yeah, Gillette's got a big one, too.
Yeah. Gillette's got a big one.
How does something like that happen to get that view?
Well, they're technically allowed up to 15%.
Hmm.
And if you look at a $270 million budget in Laramie 1, whatever it is.
There you go.
Actually, it's about $220, so there you go. Yeah. There's their 15%.
Give back some of that to the state and let it.
Well, and that's the complaint is it seems like a lot of money that's tied up, and then they turn around and build a new school, and then they put a pool with it. We want a swimming pool with that school, and we're like, hey, you can't be doing that.
But they pay for it out of the reserves.
Out of reserves,
right.
I know, and where'd the reserves come from?
Right.
Is that, obviously that must be in a separate, a situation compared to other schools or districts across the state. Is there any districts that are like that have that much reserves?
Sure.
Gillette does.
Gillette does.
I don't think Natrona's quite that high.
No, I don't think Natrona's is.
But Gillette, which is the third largest district, is definitely high.
Right.
Now, any other meetings before I go to Dan, Hank, Senator, that you went to that you want to touch on regarding maybe more education meetings or anything else that you've been to since we last talked?
Well, school facilities, we had a pretty good meeting in school facilities, and I'll just kind of maybe tell you a few things about that.
Senator, look, he's prepared. He's got the notes and everything.
I know.
I'm impressed. Wow.
We, again, in school facilities, had the same presentation on school building safety and security. We looked at asset preservation. We've spent $3.5 billion in new schools. Now we got to figure out how to preserve that with major maintenance payments. Efficient management of K-12 school facility projects. That was a good discussion. Then, of course, we get a project update. And you know what's going on out there. And the bottom line is that in school facilities and school construction, we just don't have any money. Unless, the co-lease bonus monies that we used to fund school CapCon with have dried up over the Powder River Basin, and that's really how we funded school CapCon since 2004. So it's very much a hit and miss deal. The projects now that are pretty much on capacity and need move up the list. You know, we got to still have a big long laundry list of things, but we just don't have the money to do it right now.
Now, you're talking projects as far as maintenance or big renovation, new construction, or what does that include?
Well, major maintenance is about $140 million a year situation for us. And, you know, you go out and you build all these new schools. The worst thing you can do is let them go by the wayside.
That's
and not
take like throwing money down the toilet. Yeah.
Exactly right. You've got component funding that is just, you know, not major construction, but maybe put in a new roof or to put in a new heating system, stuff like that was talked about quite a bit. But school CapCon is we do have good direction with Del McComey and Shelby Carlson. I'm very pleased with them. I think they do a great job. And school CapCon, you know, we got the controversies of Cary Junior High School and Cheyenne and others that I think finally have gone away.
What was the controversy? Remind us of what was going on with that.
Well, Cary Junior High School's Laramie One wanted to use old Cary Junior High School as swing space and then build a new school down where the Cheyenne East football field was. And it was a very controversial project because they beat the bushes for a number of years, wanted to go out. I mean, they've had some growth in that district. So, you know, Cheyenne's kind of become an extension of the Front Range. Build all these new elementary schools. Laramie One, in my way of thinking, and I hope they aren't listening that close, but I think they're
I can arrange it if you
they're one of the most difficult districts I've had to deal with since I've been down there.
Really?
I was talking with Del McComey, and he says he's spending more time on Laramie One issues in Cheyenne than the other 47 districts.
Is it the want thing? They just
They want new schools. They want. Over here, they reconfigured. They went with K-4 rather than K-5. That cost space and money. So
that's a fight.
I am not a Laramie One fan. I just got to tell you that.
That's a fight that you guys are dealing with then.
Right.
Right. And then what's interesting, now you guys will love this. You probably don't know this. John Little, you know, retired. He's
right.
The superintendent at Laramie One. Guess who his replacement is?
Boyd Brown.
Boyd Brown out of Gillette. So you end up with two districts that pretty much move to the sound of the same drum. So
it'll
be interesting.
In the grand scheme of things, how does that, something like that, what's going on in Laramie One, impact other schools across the state like Cody, Powell, I mean, smaller school districts? I mean, it's just money taken away from them? Or how would you explain
that?
Well,
they go out there and they flex a little bit. You know, they're the biggest district in the state, and they try to exert their influence. But the other thing you mix in is that they have had some growth situations. They have more kids.
They have capacity issues.
Yeah,
right?
Their capacity issue is pretty tough, and so they put pressure on the school facilities to solve all their problems, and, you know, the heck with everybody else. So
that's
just the way they do business down there.
We're going to take a quick break on Speaker Peace. When we get back, Dan, you're going to tell us about the Revenue Committee meeting, which was quite fascinating. That you had recently. We'll get that. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. If you'd like to join the conversation today with State Senator Hank Cole, along with State Representatives David Northrup and Dan Larson, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Peace right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Have you heard of the many benefits of CBD oil? This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods, and our customers are experiencing great results. If you suffer with pain, anxiety, or insomnia, stop in today and let us answer your questions. CBD oil is being studied for its many benefits. Mountain High Health Foods, serving the Bighorn Basin for over 20 years. We're open Monday through Saturday at the top of the hill in Cody.
Monster Lake Ranch is open. This is one of the best times of year to catch big fish. The rainbows, browns, and cutthroat are plentiful and biting. Monster Lake offers a superior outdoor experience and some of the best fishing in Wyoming. Whether you are an experienced fisherman or just enjoy the occasional fishing getaway, let us craft the perfect day on the water. Call today to book a guided trip or to fish on your own at Monster Lake Ranch. 10 minutes south of Cody, call 587-5960.
Hi, this is Mickey Shoemaker, landscape manager from Pawnee Irrigation and Evergreen Landscapes in Cody. Summer's just around the corner, and it's time to get your outdoor living spaces ready to go. From hydro seeding and sod, fencing and new plants, to outdoor landscape lighting, Pawnee Irrigation Evergreen Landscapes has you covered. Come by the office or give us a call today at 587-4256 for your free estimate. And remember to think green and like us on Facebook. Pawnee Irrigation, Evergreen Landscapes.
Almost
now at Linton's Big R, burlap bags. Great for storage, hauling, home decor, lawn and garden, and more. Usually close to $3, now 99 cents each. And check out the Troy-Built Pony 42X riding mower at $9.99 in the Lawn and Garden Supercenter at Linton's Big R.
Almost anything, Big R's got it. Big R Store.
Keeping you connected to your home can provide peace of mind. This is Amy Danzy from Cody Overhead Door, and LiftMaster offers a wide range of openers with smartphone control. The LiftMaster MyQ app lets you know the kids got inside safely by sending alerts when the door opens and closes. You can also turn on lights so your family never comes home to a dark house. Find out more about a LiftMaster Wi-Fi opener at Cody Overhead Door, across from the rodeo grounds, or visit CodyOverheadDoor.com.
Hi, I'm Darren Dudrick, host of the award-winning talk show Speak Your Peace on KODI 1400 AM and 96.7 FM. Join me mornings 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, as I interview guests from around the city, county, state, and even the nation, and take your phone calls regarding a wide range of topics and issues that affect you. That's Speak Your Peace, weekday mornings 9 to 10, with rebroadcast 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, only on KODI 1400 AM and 96.7 FM.
84 million American adults have prediabetes. This is Linda Cardinal, registered dietitian. If you are at risk for prediabetes, Cody Regional Health and Billings Clinic are partnering together to offer a diabetes prevention program. For just $75, you'll receive 26 sessions starting Wednesday, August 1st, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Learn to incorporate healthier eating, moderate exercise, stress reduction, and more. Register today at codyregionalhealth.org or call 578-2468.
Tiled floors are ideal for any room, but when you add warmth to tile, you add a touch of luxury that brings your flooring experience to a whole new level. Imagine bare feet on a nice, cozy floor that also has all the benefits associated with tile, available in endless designs, colors, and sizes, and offers easy maintenance and is allergen-free. When properly installed, a heated tile floor is practically indestructible. Isn't it time you installed a warm, luxurious tile floor? Abbey Carpet on the West Strip in Cody.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today, visiting with State Senator Hank Coe, along with State Representatives Dan Larson and David Northrup. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Judy Frisbee.
Hi, Judy.
Good morning. I'm kind of concerned. Everything that's been spoken about the education so far has been, there hasn't been any mention of looking at what we're going to cut. And in the Billings Gazette about a few days ago, there was an article about the way you're going to increase funds. And there were three different things mentioned. But we are already spending $5,000 more per student in Wyoming than the surrounding states are. And especially in Cody, our academic achievement is like on the ACT, I gave you that, Senator Coe, mm-hmm. about Sheridan getting 9 and Powell getting 4 and Cody and Burlington getting 2. That's an $80,000 scholarship. Why aren't we looking? You know, I haven't heard you say anything about in your meetings. You're talking about where you're going to cut. That's what I'd like to hear, is where are you going to cut?
Well, it's a good question, Judy. And, you know, actually over the last 2 years, we've cut, I think, $59 million.
No, it's just right at 100 right now. It's
right at 100. The Senate approach really was to do more than that. But we all know the legislating is the art of compromise, so we ended up compromising. And this last year, I can't remember what we cut, $30
million? No, 20.
$30 million over 2 years.
Yeah.
20 and 14.
Yeah.
But I think what you're talking about increased funding has to do with the automatic escalators that really concern me. One of the things that we don't have any control over, things like health insurance and, you know, other things that go up no matter what you do. I hear you. You know, we're spending, if you look at all the surrounding states, all seven states, the state that's closest, we spent about 16,300, I think, is the last number per ADM.
Pretty close.
State that's closest to us now is Montana at 11. And then you've got Utah, Colorado. Of course, they got economies of scale with a lot more kids. Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, particularly South Dakota. South Dakota's in the $600 to $6,500 per student range. So, you know, we've been talking that for 2 years, but it's, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to come down the pike this next year. So,
you know, that's what I'd really like to hear, you know, when you guys are on, is where you're cutting so that we get more in line with some of these other states. And some of these states have things that we don't have. And you just wonder, where's the money going? And if they're spending $5,000 less per child, and yet they've got things that we don't have, why isn't this being looked into?
Well, and then, you know, another point on top of that, these other states, Wyoming's the only state that reimburses transportation and special education at 100%. We're the only state in the country that does that.
Well, why aren't we changing it?
Well, we're trying. We
limited special ed. We capped it.
Yeah, we did. We capped special ed.
We capped the number of new buses that can be bought.
And we capped transportation, I think, at 14, 15 levels.
Right. Right. So we're working little bits and pieces of it, but literally it's going to come down to making a big cut somewhere.
Somewhere. Either that or a big tax
increase. Or a big tax increase.
Because balancing the school foundation program out of the rainy day fund right
now. Out of LISRA, right.
I don't think the taxpayers are going to stand for another big tax
increase.
Not when we have, not when we're getting what we're getting and other states are getting what they're getting and paying what they're paying. So I think that you've got to look at some cuts.
Yep. Well, 16-1, I'll just say that 16-1 is where we're paying right now. And if we went with what the consultants had suggested, that we'd be
21-1.
Yep.
Well, and that's what the other states are doing, and they're getting, look at the achievement they're getting with their increased, some of the states it's more than 21 to 1. Some of the states it's only 20, 21 or 22 to 1, 4K and 1, and then it jumps up to 25 for 2, 3, 4, and 5 through 12 is like 28 or 30. I mean, we're way out of line there.
Well, you have a good grasp of it, of what this situation.
Okay, well, then I just hope we can hear you coming back with some cuts. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Yeah, a lot of this also has to deal with the local school boards. Money sent there, and then how it's spent is out of our hands.
Right. Cody's school district 6 down about $1.5 million in funding. Now, some of that's driven by ADM, because we've lost some ADM, not a lot. Even though we got a 3-year rolling average on ADM, but we have made some cuts out there. I mean, you know, David's exactly right. It's close to $100 million over the last 2 years.
That's right.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hey guys, it's Dewey Vanderhoff.
Hey Dewey.
Gentlemen,
hey, Dewey.
I kind of have a feeling, and it's really anecdotal, not evidence, that it just generally costs more to do stuff in Wyoming at the public government level because of our, you know, geographic size and the fact that there's long ways between towns and the towns are small when you get there, that the people of Wyoming just have to pay quite a bit more out of their own pocket to get up to the minimal amount of government service and public service that they reasonably expect and actually should have. That if it costs $15,000 in Wyoming, it would only be $10,000 in the next state or something with a little more population. Am I wrong when I think that it just costs more in Wyoming?
No question about it, Dewey. There's just for example, Colorado has 675,000 kids in K-12. We have 93,000, so you have an economy of scale there. But if you look at a Montana, which is very comparable to Wyoming with close to 1 million people, more than we have, or you look at South Dakota or even North Dakota, comparable size states, area wise and ADM wise, we're very close. We're still spending quite a bit more than they are. But you know, it's awful hard to compare Wyoming with Colorado with 675,000 kids and Utah with 450,000 kids.
Yeah, that's true.
There is an economy of scale. There's no question about it.
Well, Colorado has 11 times the population of Wyoming.
Sure.
Correct.
And quite a bit more diversity, I might add. They're not reliant on any one or two or three things to fill up the state treasury. But my other thought is, guys, don't we pretty much fund our entire education system, K-12, and even the university with property taxes?
About 60%.
Yeah.
So a little over 60% comes from local ad valorem.
Yeah, so is it also not true, and this is, you know, this is a nine-letter word that's actually a four-letter word, but it's finally starting to show up in the conversations in Cheyenne and around the state. In or out of an election cycle, we're finally talking about tax reform in Wyoming. And to me, that's a conversation that has been waiting to be had for a very long time. And, you know, when your predecessor, Bob Frisbee, established the three-tier tax structure in Wyoming, that was a stroke of genius.
Really
way
was.
Back in the 70s, 60s, whenever, you know, those guys did some serious progressive government back then, even though they were Republicans, and I can't use those terms in the same sentence these days, but Wyoming's tax system really served us well for the last 40 years, but for the, 40 years before the last 5 years, but it's completely been a train wreck since because of the downfall in minerals, and we got so addicted to having energy and minerals pay our bills that the people of Wyoming forgot that, you know, they have a responsibility unto themselves to pay some of that, too. Well, let's look 5 years out ahead. Instead of the last 5 years, let's go 5 years forward in our little time capsule and say, oh, my God, you know, the people of Wyoming are going to have to start paying more and more for government service out of their own pocket. And to me, Hank, that says property taxes have to go up because we are really quite low in Wyoming. And what we spend those property taxes on are somewhat skewed in priorities. Now, to get back to Montana, they pay for their entire school system out of the general fund. And look at them, Hank. They've got twice the population.
Not quite, but close.
980,000 or something. So half again. They're half again bigger geographically, half again bigger population. But they have 7 four-year schools and 10 or 11 junior colleges. Now, granted, some of those are on the reservations, but their education system is coast to coast up there and loaded. And yet, I think because of the economy of scale and the method they use to pay for it, their actual net cost of educating a student is way less than Wyoming because of other ways of doing things. So we've got models, and again, Utah's a different, that's a different world down there, and I can't even go there, but I also kind of put Idaho into the mix here because Idaho has extremely diverse economy these days. They've got a little Silicon Valley that runs through Idaho Falls and Pocatello and
fastest growing state in the country, population.
It is. And, you know, who'd have thunk it 10 years ago? You know, we just thought they were a bunch of anarchists living in cabins up in the woods and ready to do war with the world. But Idaho is, wow, we need to pay attention to some of that because mentally we're all on the same page, but somehow they're economically way out in front of the pack. So I don't know what to tell you, but my response to people like Judy is I think you guys have done a great job of cutting the things in the budget that could be cut, but again, I come back to my argument that there's a minimum that you can't go below, and we don't have enough people to spread the cost around with, and we're just going to have to pony up a little more into the school fund.
Hey, Dewey, I appreciate the call.
I'm going to leave it there and let you go on with it. Thanks for your time, guys.
Thanks for the call, Dewey. And that brings us to, I guess, a transition, that a segue to what we want to talk about next. And I want to bring Dan in this conversation because a recent economic study was quite stunning that said that under Wyoming's current tax structure, economic diversification would worsen the state's fiscal woes. And thus, Wyoming should create highly productive but low-paying jobs. Dan, I know you're part of the Joint Revenue Committee. What was discussed during that when this study, a very interesting study that was kind of surprising in a lot of ways?
I don't know if it was so surprising. I think it probably Hank and the senators and Dave realized this for a long time. You know, you bring in new businesses, they bring in a lot of people with them. So then you got to fund the more kids in the schools, more infrastructure needs and stuff like that. You know, more houses, so you got to build more streets and all that. So pretty much the study said, if you're going to bring business in, don't bring the people with them. You know, is find the businesses that don't bring the people. You know, so a lot of discussion was about wind energy. Of course, Cale Case is completely against that. He wants to tax that out of Wyoming. Mm-hmm. You know, he just doesn't like the view, essentially, mainly about that. But yeah, we had a couple hour discussion that we had Remy, I can't remember what that stands for, is a company that actually did the study.
Did the study, sure.
Yeah, on the East Coast. But yeah, you hit it just right. Big news out there about that, but. So what do we do? You know?
They said maybe change the tax situation, it sounds like.
That's pretty much what they said. You need to tax the people and maybe the businesses more. Like Dewey said, property tax. Revenue committee's not a good one to be on. Yeah, no.
And that's why we're putting the whole spotlight on you, Dan, to explain what the world is going on in the revenue committee.
I'm probably a lone duck there, and I think we talked about that a lot last year, the end of before session.
The lack of the revenue committee to bring any options, right, to vote any.
But we were told by leadership, and I think everybody's probably on the same page, is until we've spent our savings, it's pretty, when people don't want taxes. You know, they want to see you do some more cuts. They want you to see you use the savings account, but we are going through it quick.
This statement out of wildfile.com, I quote them, this paragraph, it's interesting. It says, high-paying jobs, according to the study, would draw too many people to the state and require government services such as roads, public education, law enforcement that Wyoming won't be able to pay for because of Wyoming's lack of a corporate or personal income tax and its relatively low sales tax. The cost of services would outpace new revenues. And basically, mining and energy is the only industry under the current tax code where drawing people to Wyoming with well-paying jobs is a net positive for the state. So, boy, it almost shoots a hole in the whole endow thing as well. I mean, a lot of people are saying the endow thing now might be a waste of money. People are starting to second guess that whole thing. But what was talked about at that level?
A lot of discussion on that. Obviously, the governor's race. That's brought up a lot on, but yeah, that's exactly what was talked about. You know what Wildfile said. You know, we're talking. You know, the management council talked about trying to figure out how to take the $105 million that goes to counties and cities and finding a way to take that away from them, and you know, more taxes or something to find that money. So there's talk about a city optional sales tax.
Municipalities an option to raise money locally.
Correct.
Yeah. Pretty big discussion on that. Of course, the counties are worried about that and the rural citizens, you know. So that's a big discussion.
What about a personal income tax? Is that ever going to be brought up, or is that kind of like devil's words, never ever mentioned at the state level?
Devil's words, never, okay. Never mentioned okay. At the state level. But you know, just let me make a comment,
sure,
back to what
ahead.
Dewey said, because
okay.
He talked about Bob Frisbee.
Okay.
Created the tier system of taxation. And we just alluded to that a few minutes ago, because the tier system of taxation is 9.5% on residential assessment, 11.5% on commercial, and Bob Frisbee was the architect of this. But minerals are taxed at 100% of production, which is why we have this huge dependency on minerals, because the severance tax flows to the state, and it's, you know, 65% of how we spend money comes from minerals because they're taxed at 100%. So I just wanted to bring that up because that's exactly what we're talking about here, why the dependency on minerals. I happen to believe in the Endow Initiative. I think this is the first time, and I've seen a number of them at the state level. Everybody's buzzword, economic diversification is what we need to do. But this one I think's got a real shot at doing some seriously good stuff. Do we need tax reform? I don't think there's any question about it, that we need to realize that we can't continue to live in the style that we've been living without somehow coming up with more money.
Did the committee, Dan, for the most part, think this was a pretty eye-opening study and that a lot of them agreed with, or was it more of a doom and gloom thing? They're thinking, okay, this is just one study. Let's not take it too seriously. What was the overwhelming majority, you think? Or was there?
I think the chairmen and the members of the committee realized this before, and that's pretty much...
They kind of knew what they were going to get into when they got the study.
Chairman Madden, he's kind of spearheading that with Ray Peterson, chairman's.
Ray Peterson's taking a lot of bad rap, but he's been out there doing what he's supposed to do.
It's tough, and that's what Revenue Committee does.
That's right.
But what does that mean, highly productive... but low-paying jobs? That sound like kind of like a contradiction. I mean, would that be effective in Wyoming? Highly productive but low-paying jobs? That's not what the state wants, really, or does it? I don't know. That's what the study kind of summarized.
I think what we want in this state is for our young people to be able to come back here after they go to college.
That's the key.
And be able to live and work here.
Affordably.
And affordably. Yeah. And we don't have those kind of jobs available in Wyoming right now.
So we're not talking like... big, high-paying jobs. It's something where people would come back and make a nice living with their families and bring them back. And right now, we don't have that, and you think Endow may offer or lead in that direction, hopefully.
I do. I think I'm optimistic about Endow this time.
Are you guys both optimistic about Endow, or you have
I like Endow? What the Endow Initiative has. I would like to see it start getting going, and let's work it and make it a plan instead of be dissonant all the time. I mean... I'm sorry I said dissonant, but I mean, it sounds like everybody is just beating it up, and it's like, maybe we ought to give it a whirl and find out what we can do instead of bitch about it all the time.
Would you agree? You got nothing to lose at this point?
Well, I'm having troubles with the Endow, but, I don't know what to think on it. You know, we're spending a lot of money. I just don't know, and we could bring up the commercial air service.
Yeah, we're off and running on that deal, but I'm not actually on the council, but I can tell you we've had some significant meetings.
Have you?
My significant other is very active in this whole deal. They had their first meeting, just got the minutes from that. Bill Panis is front and center on this deal. The air service side of this thing, we are really working hard on this deal.
Well, that's good to hear. We got to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. Caller, stay with us. We'll get you on the other side. And if you'd like to join the conversation today with State Senator Hank Coe, along with State Representatives David Northrup and Dan Larson, give us a call, 587-1400. We're back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
If you're in the market for a used vehicle, look no further than Garvin Motors in Powell. You'll find a great lineup of used vehicles at Garvin Motors with exceptional value, quality, and dependability. At Garvin Motors, their goal is to provide great prices in a relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere, making your car buying experience fun. Stop by Garvin Motors today and see their great selection, or visit them online at garvinmotors.com. You'll be glad you did. Garvin Motors, located on West Coulter Avenue in Powell.
The Bighorn Co-op has locations in Riverton, Worland, Basin, Powell, Grable, and Buffalo to help you travel around our area. They've got everything a convenience store needs and so, so much more. From new tires and the guys to put them on to animal feeds and pet supplies. You can pick up supplies to fix your furnace or your plumbing. Fill your vehicle with gas and fill your tummy with treats. Stop by and see what the Bighorn Co-op has to make your day easier. The Bighorn Co-op in Grable, Basin, Worland, Riverton, Powell, and Buffalo.
Since 1935, Bighorn Federal has been committed to community. From passing on rate increases to depositors to providing financing for local businesses, farms, and homeowners, our focus has always been local. We remain committed to local customers by adding new products and services to make banking local easier than ever. Bighorn Federal, certified local, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Daybreak with Darren Dudrick.
Star Wars. Episode 4, A New Hope, opens at movie theaters May 25th, 1977. It's groundbreaking visual effects. Special effects were like we had never seen before. So that in itself changed Hollywood forever. And that makes Star Wars one of the most influential films of all time and one of the biggest pop culture spotlights.
Daybreak with Darren Dudrick. Mornings 6 to 10 on KODI.
There's nothing like a hardwood floor for the natural beauty, warmth, ease of cleaning, and durability. This is Kim Scheid, flooring manager at Haskell's. Stop in today at any one of our three showrooms and browse through the selection of premier hardwood flooring in everything from exotic to homegrown favorites. At Haskell Flooring, we guarantee the best prices and have 30 years of professional installation experience. Also, ask about cash and carry pricing. Haskell Furniture and Flooring in Cody, Lovell, and Moreland, where we have better than Billings pricing every day.
Mossy Oak Properties of Wyoming. Old-fashioned service, honest deals. Our team has business owners, real estate developers, and investors with over 100 years of experience. Mossy Oak Properties in Cody.
This has been Business Card on the Air, a service of the Bighorn Radio Network.
This is Monica from the Hair Affair and 11th Street Spa, a full-service salon with great ideas for cuts, coloring, and styles, along with manicures, pedicures, facials, massage, spray-on tans, permanent cosmetics, and the fabulous Jane Iredell Cosmetics. The Hair Affair and 11th Street Spa in Cody.
Need new wheels, but your credit has taken a beating? Midway Auto Sales in Cody and Moreland is ready to help. Call 307-587-7571 or go online at midwayautosales.com for an online application. It's free, easy, and confidential. Midway has the largest selection of pre-owned autos in Northwest Wyoming. Bankruptcies, collections, medical, or divorce. Your credit problems are no problem. Call 307-587-7571 or go online at midwayautosales.com. Midway, when you expect the best.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, today visiting with State Senator Hank Coe, along with State Representatives David Northrup and Dan Larson. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Tomorrow on Speak Your Peace, my guest will be Cody School Superintendent Ray Schulte. Speaking of education, let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hi, this is Keith Dollum.
Hi, Keith.
Hey, you're talking about extra tax, local taxes. Don't the counties already get 2%? They get a capital facilities tax and an optional tax to add to the sales tax.
Yeah, they do, or they can. You know, there's a fifth penny. It's for general operation, and the sixth penny is for capital construction.
Right. So they can, instead of the 5% state sales or 4% state sales tax we have, they can add additional 2%, so it'd be 6% sales tax. Are they talking about even adding more, or what's the county?
Yeah, adding more.
So they go to 3 to 4% then?
Option of the city to do a tax just in the city limits.
So are they talking about the statewide going from 4 to 5 as well?
They are talking about that. Yeah, there's discussion. So that was voted to continue discussion.
Park County's only taking advantage of the 1% capital facilities tax because they have to give it to the voters to vote down. Vote, are these other optional tax going to be a county vote too?
They are a county vote.
Or they've a city vote.
They'll be a city vote.
Yeah.
If that did come about.
So only the city can vote on it, but all the county taxpayers have to pay because
they go there.
They go to the city to buy their
their
stuff because
and that's the big opposition.
That's the big discussion. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I've talked several times on the property taxes in Yellowstone. It should be on commercial and residential facilities. And then, of course, Steve Torrey talked earlier about the registration for vehicles. The other thing, I was in there on the 4th of May when they first opened, and I used my credit card at Canyon, and it was deposited at the Bozeman Bank. So that was just the commercial facilities in there do all their banking in Montana. They don't do it in Wyoming, but that was just another thought. So thank you.
Thanks for the call, Keith.
Okay, bye.
You know, I want to talk about something I think that's important for everybody to know about. If they don't know about it already, it's a Safe to Tell. We mentioned it one time on Speaker Piece. I talked a little bit about that with Lisa Peterman of Crisis Intervention Services. First, can you tell us remind us what Safe to Tell is, and then how it's doing in the state, if you could.
Well, Safe to Tell, we had a joint education bill, 3 years ago, David?
Yes.
And the House, I'm not quite sure why, but it went down in the House, and so I brought it back up in the Senate, and David and I worked on it again, and we were able to get it passed and implement the program. It's an anonymous tip program that was brought to us by a wonderful woman out of Colorado, because they use it in Colorado, where anonymously, basically mostly young people, but not necessarily young people, can say, hey, I overheard little Johnny out in the parking lot talking about how he's going to come and shoot the school up. And it's an anonymous tip that gets instantaneous attention because it's to a 24-hour tip line. And what this thing has done in Wyoming since it was implemented has been nothing short of amazing. I mean, they've had they've received 1,324 tips.
Wow.
For 1,197 incidents, 44 suicide threat tips. Resulted in suicide threat assessment. Tips concerning drugs and bullying are big. 189 bullying, 132 drug-related. At 33 planned school attacks at the tip line.
This is in Wyoming.
This is in Wyoming.
My goodness.
10 of the planned school attack tips resulted in school disciplinary action. 2 resulted in an arrest. So I can tell you this thing really works with the focus on suicide that we've all seen here the last week with celebrities and different problems.
Oh, yeah.
So this goes hand in hand with a bill that David and I carried, five, 6 years ago, the Jason Flatt Act, which goes in and provides training to teachers to be able to recognize symptoms of students in their class. And so one of the things I'm really concerned about, first of all, the opiate crisis is huge, but suicide, particularly with our young people, I think Wyoming's number 3 in the country, and I think Montana's number 1.
For parents that are guardians out there listening, Senator, that are wanting to know how their student or how their son or daughter would use something like this, how do they utilize this? Is there an app or is there a phone number? How does that work?
Well, there's been an outreach for public relations. You can go all over the schools and you'll see posters all over.
Safe to tell.
And it's out there, and I should be able to tell you what the line is.
You could probably Google it, I'm sure, and get some more.
Google it up, and I'm trying to look at my.
I have it. It's 1-844-996-7233.
Okay. And that's a number somebody, a student or whoever, would call if there's a crisis situation.
Call or text.
And the examples that the senator gave us.
We actually have 2 districts that haven't implemented, but there's been 40 school districts that received presentation. Safe to tell staff, we got a full-time person. By the way, this is paid for with federal funds, not state funds.
Federal, that's important to note, sure.
39 school assemblies, 9 public presentations, 13 presentations of Safe to Tell to various groups. I just love the program. I love what it's doing. And with the suicide problem that we have, it just is
but
paramount.
Two districts haven't implemented it yet. That's interesting. Wyoming. Okay.
Can you understand that? I can't understand why a district would not say, that's a good idea, let's put that in.
One is down here in Bighorn County.
Is it they don't understand it fully? Is there, maybe they don't, but you don't think know. Somebody asked a question to try to understand it, because I don't think there's any, I mean, I think it's an absolute fantastic program, and Lisa Peterman brought it up on the phone when you guys were here, I think, the last time.
Right.
I hadn't heard about it. It just slipped, I think it's one of those things like mental health that slips past everybody. And don't realize the state's actually doing something positive, which I think is a good thing. Well, those numbers are unbelievable.
Not only kids, but they've had adult contacts.
Correct. So this person, are they employed by the Department of Education or is it the Attorney General's office?
The Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, okay.
Guy Cameron's operation in Cheyenne, and it's federally funded.
And that's where they'd contact if they wanted somebody to speak about it?
Well, yeah, that's who they would contact is the Department of Homeland Security
to
in Cheyenne.
Speak about it.
The TIFS line is at the Wyoming Highway Patrol now down in Cheyenne.
And remember, the name of the program again is Safe to Tell.
Safe to Tell.
And if you Google it, I'm sure you'll find more information about a great program that was implemented here in Wyoming. Thanks to Senator Coe and Representative Northup. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on. Representative Larson, thanks for giving us an update on the committee. Sorry you have to be in the spotlight when it comes to revenue, but you're the money man, I guess, right?
Well, I'm the only one here on it.
You feel bad
Lucky
for him,
me.
Senator?
If taxes go up, we can blame Dan Larson.
There you go.
Whoa, okay.
Scary.
Gentlemen, thanks for coming today. Appreciate it. And that will do it for Speaker Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Graybull.